Welcome to Breaking Free Podcast, your recovery, your way. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Liv. You're in the right place if you want to explore what it means to be in recovery, to challenge the things that keep us small, and to learn how to thrive independently.
Together we are breaking free. Just a quick reminder that while I'm a nurse and a coach, and Liv is a coach, recovery advocate, and a writer, we are not doctors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you need to, please, please see a doctor.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services.
Unity Recovery, an inclusive recovery community organization serving all of Philadelphia, is proud to support the Breaking Free podcast. Recovery is possible. Find your path to break free.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. Last week, we covered shaming terms, but there is one in particular we wanted to have an entire episode on. Today, we're going to be zeroing in on the problem with clean, quote unquote. So, Liv, I'd love to hear, what are your associations with the term clean?
I think the term clean to me rings the NA bell. You know, it's what we say, right? We're clean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then NA has a problem with saying clean and sober because they're like, well, you're clean for, you know, alcohol's a drug, da da da.
So clean encompasses
sobriety.
That you are sober from alcohol and you're not using, that you're abstaining from alcohol and you're not using substances.
Yes.
Okay.
Because alcohol is a drug. Mm-hmm. And you are to abstain from all drugs if you want to recover within the paradigm of that fellowship. Mm-hmm.
And so what is the problem with that association?
My problem is that to say the word clean denotes that there's some kind of dirty out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're not clean, you are, you know, it's kind of shaming, right? So to say somebody is dirty implies that they're not good enough in some way, that they're, you know, using substances and that's not what they should do, you know, and that doesn't align with my beliefs around harm reduction, you know, and a principle of harm reduction is everybody has the right to use drugs. Mm. Mm-hmm. So
that using drugs doesn't mean someone is not clean or dirty.
Yeah, and dirty implies, you know, it's a really negative implication. Bad, filthy, you know, not good enough. Mm-hmm. It comes down to like worth.
Yeah, even if you say unclean, like that's a like, ooh.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to like biblical.
Right.
Age
that's
of
really
like
interesting.
They were unclean or to touch someone's feet because the feet are unclean or.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about it until just now.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And also I think it feeds into that kind of hierarchy of recovery with abstinence being the ultimate goal. The self-actualization of recovery is to be abstinent and clean. Mm. And I have a problem with that because that level of entry isn't accessible to everybody in recovery. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we need to be talking in terms of recovery. You know, hey, I'm Liv. I'm in recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'm just Liv. I don't need to identify myself by what I do or what I don't do, right? Mm. What about you? What does clean mean to you?
Yeah, so for me, you know, I definitely, especially earlier on in recovery, would say clean and sober.
Yeah.
Because I would go to both AA and NA meetings. And I think, you know, definitely associated it with recovering from substance use. And when I discovered that it was problematic for me was when I started looking into or learning about intuitive eating, because I was totally guilty myself of saying like, I have a like clean diet, right? I eat clean.
Yeah.
And
does that mean you really wash all your vegetables?
Yeah. It means you eat only kale. With
cleaned with chlorine.
Yeah, it's well, you can't even use avocado oil, right? Because avocados apparently take a lot of water to grow, and there's also like some cartel involvement in the sale of our, right? So like it's like foods that are very nutrient dense and whole, right? And then so they're like holier
Yeah.
foods, right? They're more morally acceptable foods. So that's like how it gets to be problematic, right? It's like that you're better if you eat a clean diet. And also foods that are clean in the sense of, you know, sustainable and all mm-hmm. of that, which there's definitely a ton of privilege.
Yeah.
Along with that.
Right.
Because not everyone has access to, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, organic foods, foods that are sustainably, you know, grown or, you know, non-GMO, all of those things. And
not everybody can afford to eat a whole paycheck.
Yeah, right. Whole paycheck. I don't know if you guys have heard this before, but in Portland, we call Whole Foods whole paycheck because you could literally spend, you know, $200 on one bag of groceries there. Yeah. Although they do, you know, they have some really amazing stuff there.
They
especially.
Do have really amazing things. I went last night and I try not to go there. I try to shop at Trader Joe's because I struggle too. Like I can't always afford to be an ethical consumer, which is a really, you know, a moral dilemma for me. But I, you know, I did stop by last night and I picked up one bag of groceries and it was $80.
Yeah.
And I could have got a whole week's worth of food in Trader Joe's for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's expensive, right? And so, and now they're also owned by Amazon. Anyway, we could do a whole episode on
the ethical,
ethical shopping, right? So we're doing our best.
So if food is clean, what food is dirty?
Yeah. So like Cheetos, right?
I don't think I've ever had a Cheeto.
Oh, really?
I think we call them... I think
is this an American thing?
Yeah, we call them Watsits in England. They're like those puffy...
Corn puffs with that's right. Nacho Gross. Cheese dust on them.
So we're talking like...
delicious.
we're talking processed food, right?
Processed food, yeah.
Or food... Processed. Yeah. Charlene's just made an appearance.
Processed or processed, yeah. So I think, and for me... the problem with it is the idea that food is good or bad.
Right.
And not simply food. So that's one of the principles of intuitive eating is making peace with food.
Yeah.
And that food be emotionally neutral.
So the extension being that you're good or bad for what you eat.
Yeah. It's if you eat the Cheetos, then you're bad. Right. So that there's a morality associated with what we choose to put, you know, what we choose to eat or put in our bodies.
And anyone that struggles with disordered eating... to tell them that, you know, to evoke an emotion of feeling good or bad.
Yeah. So it's so what happens is that if we have wiring associated with good or bad food and we eat the bad food, it's triggering to, it triggers our wiring to put us into a shame spiral. Mm. And shame actually contributes to disordered eating. Mm. So there's studies that show that the more shame you have, the more episodes of binge eating a person with binge eating disorder will have, or the increased severity of those episodes as well.
Yeah.
And you know, if you think about it, anytime you feel shamed, what do you want to do?
Comfort.
You want to feel better. Yeah. So you want to self-soothe.
Yeah.
And so it perpetuates the problem.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a pause here so that we can hear from our awesome sponsors.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services. As the largest and most diversely programmed non-clinical recovery support center in the United States, we've been proudly breaking barriers and forging new pathways for years to ensure everyone has a home in recovery. From peer mentoring to recovery CrossFit, from trauma-informed yoga to mindfulness training, the Alano Club of Portland has a recovery pathway that's right for you.
Here at Unity Recovery, we believe recovery should be the expectation, not the exception. Whether you find support with mutual aid, harm reduction, medication, or yoga, your recovery is beautiful and worth celebrating. Learn more and become part of the recovery movement at unityrecovery.org.
And we're back.
Problem. Yeah, and I think that's particularly challenging for people in recovery because food's one of the substances we have left.
Yeah, so we go to that for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the shame is bad enough and you're not able to, it's going to also encourage people to use.
It's kind of strange, isn't it, that you go to a 12-step meeting and you identify as clean, but in the same room you have donuts.
And then we're going to see gonna the go irony smoke, right? Yeah. Well, but I feel like what happens, especially for women in recovery too, is like you get sober or whatever, you enter recovery.
Yeah.
So you're trying to abstain or whatever you're trying to do to change your use. And then we tend to lean on food.
Yeah.
Right. And then that creates shame
yeah.
in itself. and it feels similar to the way it felt when we were using.
Yeah.
And that creates more shame.
Yeah.
And then we tend to try to control that pattern.
Right.
And then we eat. It actually creates this like pendulum, right? Like we restrict, and then we and then when we come up break the restriction,
we overeat, which is why diets don't work.
Yeah, we're gonna have a whole episode on that. I can't wait. But I think I think these are really similar actually. Mm. And so, using the term clean, I feel like it's problematic whether you're referring to somebody who is, you know, has substance use disorder. They're trying to abstain from using any type of drug.
Yeah.
Or whether you're referring to your food, you know, it's really...
it's limiting.
Yeah. So, Liv, what is your breaking free solution to the term clean?
I think that the best way to describe somebody as in recovery is exactly that, right? We're not... Well, we might be, if we identify with clean, you know, and that being a choice, it's really interesting, actually. I was reading someone's article the other day about calling people with HIV clean or dirty or identifying in those ways. Mm. And the person who wrote the article, it was a really powerful article, actually, because it was saying that, you know, referring to someone in those ways is shaming. Mm. But later in the article said that, you know, clean in relation to recovery or addicts is kind of a rite of passage, and that's a badge that we can wear. Mm. And I, you know, I think there are a number of parallels between those two areas. So I don't understand how you can be so distinct in one area and not in another. You know, I do believe in the power of choice, and people's own pathway. So for me, I just thought it was an interesting example, but for me, I think we describe people as being in recovery, you know, with no ultimate goal. Mm. You know, recovery is really an expansive term that could incorporate any kind of recovery goal. It could be abstinence. It could be abstinence from alcohol or drugs or whatever. It leaves less room for shame, you know, because if somebody returns to use, what do they then call themselves? Like, they can't identify with clean anymore, so they call themselves dirty or, you know.
And I think people say addict or junkie, and that's shaming as well.
Yeah, I'm just a useless whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I did it. Mm. It's just really shaming, and I think as a person in recovery, I have a responsibility to, you know, put the hand of recovery out there and welcome someone and say that there's space for them, whether they return to use or they don't. Ultimately, you know, even if we go back to the requirements of membership, is only a desire to stop using, right? Mm-hmm. What about you? What do you think is an alternative to clean for people with food?
Yeah, so
people with food, people eat food, guys. They don't eat nutrition.
It's okay to eat food. I give you permission. Eat some food.
Yeah.
So around food, I mean, I think it's important to examine the language that we use and whether that is language that is helpful or harmful. And in terms of clean, you know, I don't personally want to associate food as good or bad, clean or dirty, because then if I eat that food, I'm going to feel like there's something wrong with me, right?
Yeah.
That I didn't eat the good food, and I feel like it's not a moral issue. So instead of saying clean, a lot of times if I'm trying to describe the way, like if someone were to ask me, what do you eat, right? Mm. I'd say, well, I eat foods that, you know, my body, that feel good to my body and that I enjoy, right? So I'll refer to, I know, crazy.
Everybody.
I enjoy my food.
She
every day.
Chooses what she wants to eat.
I totally make a choice. What do I want to eat based on what I enjoy? And so, you know, I think, like, if you're trying to describe, like, eating more veggies, just say eat more veggies, right? Or, like, I try to eat a lot of veggies because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Or if you're really trying to separate some different food choices, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you might want to say something like nutrient-dense foods.
Yeah.
Or less processed foods.
Yeah.
Or more fun foods, right? Or
what's
more
a fun food?
What is a fun food? I would say Cheetos is probably a fun food for some people. For me, like, coconut bliss. I just discovered another coconut-based, you guys, I eat cheese sometimes, but, like, milk kills me. So I don't eat it. I choose, you know, that it doesn't feel good to my body. But I love coconut milk ice cream so much. So Coconut Bliss is fantastic. But it's called like No Moo or something like that. They have a maple pecan.
We say pecans in England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say it a little differently. But either way, pecan. They're delicious.
Yeah.
I have some in my freezer. I think we're going to eat it right after this. Anyway.
Yeah, we are.
So the point is that, you know, we still can differentiate. It's not like we can't, you know, there's not terms that differentiate these things. But I do feel that saying clean is inherently shaming.
And it's kind of clinical too, right? In the same way as nutrition is. I hate that. You know, food is sustaining. Mm. It's not a weapon.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to have to dive more into that in another episode. We're going to be talking more about intuitive eating, diet culture, all of these things. But, you know, I think it can be helpful to recognize that the impact that it has on other people, but also the impact it has on us.
Yeah.
So my breaking free solution is, you know, let's call food what it is and not assign a moral category to it.
Oh, I love that. Isn't she amazing, guys? We need to say, guys.
Thank you.
People, oh, that's right. Honeys. Honeys. Folks.
All right. Well, I think that is enough for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope that this episode has given you a fresh perspective on the word clean. Thank you for listening to Breaking Free Podcast, your recovery, your way.
We want to hear from you.
Email us at hello@breakingfreerecovery.com or join our Facebook group, Breaking Free Community.
Tell us what Breaking Free means to you.